brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. The opening prayer for today is one that we should look at every day, every time we go to Mass. Let this prayer be your prayer in union with your brothers and sisters before the face of the Father. You're not just an individual before God. You are part of a body. You individually are infinitely precious to God, loved by God. God wants to draw you close to himself. But when we come into the liturgy, it's us as a people coming before the Lord. So the opening prayer prayed together with those around me is very important. Oftentimes, as I've said before on the program, oftentimes I must admit I look around a little bit and the priest is praying that prayer on our behalf. This is the intent of the Holy Mass. This is the direction in which we're moving, and all of us, mind and heart, to be united with him in that prayer. And, you know, we're all doing all kinds of things. We're not even paying attention. We're just waiting until he finishes the prayer, and then we know we can sit down. Take a look at this. The opening prayer says, "Look kindly, Lord, we pray, on the devotion of your people." Are we devoted, really? So the priest on our behalf is praying, "Lord, look around, look at the devotion of your people. That those who by self-denial are restrained in body may by the fruit of good works be renewed in mind." We're restraining our bodies during this season in order that we may grow in faith, that our minds may assent to the gifts that God desires to give us. May that be your prayer today. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready, and he went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk." So he'd only done one third of the journey. "Announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth as a sign of their sinfulness and that they were mourning their sin. They were repenting of their sin." Brothers and sisters, I think God cries out to us today the same thing. I think he says, "I am giving you time to repent and return to me. But if you don't, I will act that many more may not be lost." God weeps over those who are lost. And if we just blithely go along thinking, "Well, yesterday was okay and today will be okay and we'll have everything we need and everything will be well." And look around the world. Take a moment and look around the world. Look at the suffering in the world. Do you think that we're going to be bypassed? Don't you think that we too are going to experience suffering unless we return to the Lord? Really return to the Lord. This is a time to pray for the lost. It's a time to pray for yourself. It's time to pray for your family members. Maybe it should be a key piece during Lent for you. But pray. "When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne." So it didn't matter what rank they were. It didn't matter what power or prestige they had. All of them, as one, heard the word of the Lord and responded. What a grace. "When the news, as I said, had reached the king, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. And then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh: by decree of the king and his nobles, neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to God. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand." Who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath so that we shall not perish. Take this word to heart, brothers and sisters. Do we just automatically think we'll always have Lent, we'll always have it? I mean, not being morbid, just being honest. Is this your last Lent? This is an opportunity for the whole church, where grace is being poured out upon the whole church, to repent and return to the Lord. Will you? A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. So it's a willingness to admit, I'm contrite and humbled. I'm sorry for my sin. I admit my sin. I seek forgiveness. God, will you please forgive me? Genuinely asking him, seeking him. And then begin again. A heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. But if we keep going along saying, oh, it doesn't matter, doesn't matter, God's a merciful God, he'll always forgive. Be very careful, brothers and sisters, of presumption. Be very careful. Yes, God will forgive, but God looks for a heart that's contrite and humbled, not a soul that assumes. Hear me on this. Hear me loud and clear. Oh, he's a merciful God. He's always good. He'll have mercy. Yes, God will have mercy, but brothers and sisters, if we take it for granted, that means we're not genuinely repenting of our sin and therefore cannot experience the mercy of God. Pay heed. Pay heed. Let's take a look now at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 29 to 32. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the queen of the south will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." There is something greater than Solomon here. "At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented." And there is something greater than Jonah here. What is greater than Jonah? The Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Jesus is trying to show them, do you not see that the Messiah is in your midst? Why don't they see? They can't connect the dots, because they have an image of how the Messiah would come and what he would be like and what he would do. And he comes so totally different that they don't recognize him. They can't put together the scripture that clearly speaks of him and the present reality of having Jesus in the flesh right in front of them. Really, brothers and sisters, wake up. Please wake up. Jesus is with us through the power of his Holy Spirit. He told us, I will not leave you orphan. I will not leave you orphan. I will send my Spirit, who will lead you into all the truth. Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't take for granted that you understand your faith. All of us need to grow. Every day we need to grow. Every day God would give us insight if we ask for it, if we seek him, if we wait upon him. He loves you. He really does. He waits for you. Please use this Lent well. Please let this Lent change your life. Really, change the direction of your life. And you know, you don't have to make a 45 or a 90 degree turn to change your life. God may ask something slight, but as you travel that slight correction to your journey, you end up in a very different place. What is it that God is asking of you that you might be closer to Him? And why be closer to God? Because that's the source of happiness. It's the source of peace. It's the source that gives you life. For heaven's sake, don't take your faith for granted. Don't take your relationship with God for granted. My new booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Long title. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. We need to be convicted if we're lukewarm. We need to be convicted if we're indifferent. We need to be corrected if we're hanging on to serious sin within us and not repenting for it. Brothers and sisters, the eternal lives of so many people, in a certain sense, depend on your reception of grace so you can be a guidepost for them, so you can be a mentor for them. Who knows who God wants you to bring Him to? Who knows the people that God has designed that your life will encounter theirs and change their lives? But if He hasn't changed yours, what do you have to offer anybody else? You want to be in a place where you're offering the Lord, where you're offering His wisdom, His understanding, His counsel, His strength. That's what you want to be. And that's what God wants you to be. In this year of mercy, God wants to pour out mercy upon you so that part of it is so that you may see clearly where you are, so that you may see yourself as God sees you. Don't be afraid of that, because then God pours out the grace of repentance and conversion. Humble and contrite of heart, humility and contrition for sin, those are the two tickets that get you right up to the very throne of God. Take them during this Lent. Because what God wants to give you or what God wants to restore to you is beyond anything you understand. I don't know if you yet realize, but in so many ways spiritually, because of our sins, because of our weakness, because of our stupidity, we're really deaf, dumb, and blind. In a lot of ways. Because we are, we don't even see that we don't see. And we don't hear that we don't hear. If you're deaf, you can't hear what you're missing. We need to draw as close to Him as we can to give Him time to make it a priority this Lent. Please, brothers and sisters, so that the light of God might shine through you. The light of God might work through you. Jesus is here for us, and He calls us to repent. May we do so. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It's entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.